Today's daf in Masechet Shviit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Aleph. And we got up to the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Beis, which is Perek Revi'i Halacha He. And this was the Mishnah of HaMizanev B'Gefanim, just to allow you to find it in all of the various editions. In the edition we're using, which is the Oz V'Hadar, it's on Daf Lamed Aleph Beis. So where we got up to yesterday. So someone is being mizanev bigfanim. So what you're doing is you're cutting off the tips of the various zmurot, the various, the extensions of the vines, the little pieces of vines that are growing out, and that you would often do that in order to encourage growth. Well, you're kotzeitz kanim, so you're in a wetland, and you're cutting out reeds. So Rav Yossi Aglili says, look, you've got to do it differently than you would normally do it if it's during Shvias, and you should be marchik a tefach from the ground in order not to look like you are working the ground during Shemitah, and you want to do Avodah Sakarka, because it looks like you might be trying to get the place ready for planting. So if you keep yourself a tefach above the ground, it won't be viewed that way. Rabbi Akiva Omer, you don't have to worry about that. Kotseitz kedarko makes no difference, because it does not in any way look to other people like an act that would be preparing the ground like Harisha. And you can be kotseitz kedarko, cut wherever you want, because it's not similar to doing the normal work that you would do. You could even use a kardom or a magal or a migira. It makes no difference what tool you use, whether you use axes or you use saws or you use sickles, v'chol ma sheyirtze, which may be not only the words of Rabbi Akiva, that might go on to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that if you're marking a tefach, you don't have to worry about what it is that you're going to use. Ilan shenifshach, if you have a tree that's split, so then you're allowed to be koshrin oto bashvi'it. You can tie up the split, but you cannot tie it up in order to heal it. You could tie it up in a way where it won't get more split. And because remember, again, we are mechalek always between avruye ilana and ikumi ilana. To be avruye ilana means to make it more likely, stronger to produce. Ukume ilana means to prevent its incurring damages. And the same thing is true over here. The important thing is you can do it just enough. Shelo yosif, it shouldn't get any worse than it was before. So, in the Mishnah, we learned, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you're supposed to go a tefach away from where you normally cut. And Rabbi Akiva says, that's actually what it means. And Dr. Felix explains it, that normally, when you cut, you'll always cut at a knot, right? Because it's at that point that you're going to get the new growth that's going to be most effective. It doesn't make sense. You're going to start cutting koros or other things that you want to regrow, that you would cut them at some random place in the middle of the branch. So it doesn't mean tefach from the ground. It means tefach from the normal cut. Rabbi Akiva says you cut the way you always would, and it doesn't matter whether you use, remember the kardom we said is something that has a sharp end on one side, a blade on the other, and therefore it looks like you're preparing to actually dig out the roots, which would be preparing your area for planting in Shvias. And it doesn't matter whether you use an actual saw or a sickle, whatever you want. Okay, so now the question is, it sort of appears that the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva is dependent on the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Because Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says you have to make a shinui and you have to cut a tefach away from where you normally would cut, he seems to hold like Beit Shammai, and Rabbi Akiva, who says it doesn't matter, he seems to hold like Beit Hillel. This is going all the way back to the Mishnah that we had before in Halacha Daled, where we were talking about how it is that you are allowed to take out the trees, the olive trees. So Beit Hillel says people are not going to suspect you in that case. So Beit Shammai says, no, it looks like you may be digging out the ground. So because of that, you have to only cut it an amma above, tefach rather, above the ground. You know, so it seems to be the same thing. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva says, no, you can go like Beit Hillel, Lekula, you don't have to worry about people thinking that you're preparing the actual adama, which would mean that they'll think you're doing harisha. And Rabbi Yosef Galileo says, no, you have to be careful. You have to make a shinui, do it differently. He seems to hold like Beit Shammai that you have to take into consideration the question of the Maris HaAyin. Says the Gemara, I mean, you can't be serious. I mean, you honestly believe that a Mishnah would come to tell me something that, first of all, I mean, it's meaningless. If there's a machlokas Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel, what's right? I need to know that future generations had a machlokas also. I mean, the fundamental machlokas Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel. And like, since when would we make Rabbi Yossi HaGlili come out according to Beit Shammai? It's also strange. So, why would you think that that's the point of the Mishnah? It can't be dependent on this. And then not to mention the fact that it isn't really comparable. I mean, in the case over there of the Zaysim, Beit Shammai says you can cut it, you're gaimim until the karka level. And over here, you're claiming that Rabbi Yezekli holds like Beit Shammai, but nonetheless, he holds that you have to keep a tefach above if you learn the simple pshat, or a tefach above where you normally cut. They're not the same sugi at all. Okay. So therefore, there's another sugi. Rabbi Yezekli, of course, would be made it to Beis Hillel. And he would say, in the case of the olive trees, 100%. But he holds it when it comes to the gefunim, which we're talking about over here. Our Mishnah was talking about the snipping off the edges of the new growth on the geffen, right? And the other one was talking about the things that are not food. They were reeds, right? So ishitakanim we were talking about. Okay, so that's a very big difference. Why? Because when you rip out olive trees, you cut them down to the ground, do you know what kind of root system you're leaving in the ground? You really think you're going to be able to plow that ground without removing those roots? Yeah, they'll leave a whole gigantic area that you can never plow. So that, of course, nobody's going to think that if you leave the stump in the ground, that people are going to think that you're being choresh. That's crazy. You can't even get a plow over that stuff. Masha Enkein, we've got these thin roots of vines. Vines don't have this enormous thick root system. They may be deep roots, but they're not thick. And certainly reeds. I mean, so it just looks like, okay, he took off the main stuff and now he's going to bring a plow and he's just going to plow the whole thing right under, you know? So over there, there's much more of a chashash. So I don't think it's the same. Even though, of course, I hold like Beis Hillel, says Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. But I think in this case, Beis Hillel would in fact be mocked it. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, but I doesn't believe that people are going to be choshed. That just because you took out things where there's obviously other good reasons to take about, that you wanted to do harisha. If you wanted to do harisha, you would have ripped out the underlying root system, even if it's not considered to be thick and overwhelming. Okay, fine. Fair enough, machlokas. Now, let's move on to the next Mishnah. Now, this is Perek Dalet, Halacha Sheish, Halacha Vav, and the question over here introduces a very, very different aspect. Seems to be a very different, but it actually is nogea, the ideas that we've been talking about, because it is a reference to when we would, at what point we would consider something to be a Michael of Shvias, what point not? And that's very similar to the issues that we're talking about over here. At what point do we consider it to be something that you're doing for Shvias or something that you're doing for now? So we include it here, even though it opens up the very new sugya of the dinim of Kedusha Shvias. So in order to understand this transition into the dinim of Kedusha Shvias, we have to understand that the mukar of this issue is the V'haytar Shabbat Ha'aretz Lachem Le'ochla. So we have that major chiddush that the Chachamim were aimed on, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, it's yours to eat, it means only to eat and not to be mafsid. And mafsid means to be mafsid for any lesser usage than actual direct consumption, which it provides for your life itself. Okay, So then that means that you're not allowed to eat perishvias in a way that's not an effective use of the nourishment of the perishvias, right? So because of that, you are not allowed to harvest perishvias at a point where they're not fully ripe, because if you wait a little bit, they'll be fully ripe and they'll be much more nourishing and much more usable. So therefore, we have, now, Larka, you have to wait till it's ripe. However, and the Gemara is going to ask, like, where do we get the right to do that, however? But we'll see in a minute where we get it from. However, those kind of things which are usable in short spurts outside of the normal harvest time, those things, we'll see that there's a heter that's merumas in the pasuk itself. We allow you to do as an arai, even though it's not ripe. So in other words, for instance, it's very common for people who work out in the field, and all that they were able to bring out with them. I mean, you can't bring out like real edibles that get ruined in the sun and so on. You bring out bread. So guys got some pita. That's hard to eat, just raw pita. So what would they do? They would pick a couple of early grapes that are by no means ready to make wine out of. Squish the grapes, which is sour. You squish the grape onto your pita. Now that makes the pita edible. It's sort of like dipping it in a salad dressing, you know? Not the best use of the grape, but a very common use in particular circumstances. So that type of thing we're mutter you to do, even though it would not be mutter to actually do it as your full bringing in your pears into your house. You can't do so. You see the comparison to the first sugyas of the perek. These are things that you're doing, but you can't do them in the normal way that you would do. You can't actually do a harisha, but you're doing something else, and you just need to do it in a way which people are not going to confuse with an actual harisha. Same thing is true over here. This early usage, if it's done in a way that's not standard bringing in of the pri, so then it's understandable that you're not being mafsid the peres. You're using them in a very particular, limited way, where over there it's not a hefsid. That's the way I understand the interrelationship of the first part of the parak to something that appears to be, I mean, completely off the wall. I mean, what are we going from the nyan of harisha and zibul and so on? We're talking about at what stage parashvias become mutter. Well, that should be a different parak, right? So this gives us the understanding of the transition. So now, since we have this halacha that it's asr, and if I take them in too early, I'm actually being mafsid the peres, and I'm being over on an Isra at the Araisa of being mafsid peres shvias. Everybody who is zeicha to live in Eretz Yisrael and was eating peres b'kedusha shvias knows the tremendous hakpada of not being mafsid and keeping a special bag in which you put even the leftovers and not having leftovers. If you're going to drink a cup, you drink it to the absolute bottom, that there shouldn't be anything that's left. It's an amazing experience to know that your achila is directly related to your respect to Eretz Yisrael and its growth. It's an amazing experience and a schus to be able to have that. So this idea of hefsed perishvias is a very fundamental idea. But those things, as I mentioned, it's possible to utilize the specific usages that are more arroy usages even during shvias, but only if you're doing it in a way that doesn't look like and isn't the actual hefsed of bringing them into your house too early. So therefore, the rest of the parak is dedicated to that. So we begin with taking for granted that there's a difference. And we're going to ask, why are we taking for granted that there may be two steps? But remember that the first part of our mesechet was me'emasai, right? The next parak, me'emasai. So we're talking about the difference between me'emasai, at what point do you have a right to do something in a steya ilan? Me'emasai, what point do you have a right to do something in a stay lovan? Here too, me'emasai, at what point would this be viewed as something that would not be a violation of the hefsed? So really, even the language shows us how it's been mechuber to the whole beginning of the Mesech. So me'emasai ochlim perot ha'ilan b'shviyit. So at what point would it be mutter to have this type of achila? So if you're talking about pagim, so remember that pagim are, as I've pointed out, is the equivalent of the English fig. And that's because the relationship over here is to the te'ena aspect of the Eitz Hadas. And as the Gemara explains, you were supposed to eat the Eitz HaDaas. I mean, obviously the whole world was created only for you to be able to have the broadened experience of Rishus and Bechira across the board. The problem was, Ela she'ochla paga. You ate it immaturely. The figs weren't mature. So you were not in a state where you should have eaten. This whole period is a remnant to those sugyas about the Achila in Gan Eden, or the Gemara says the same thing about David and Bathsheba. We have an incredible situation in which Mashiach comes from a relationship that everybody is saying, how a horrible person, he sleeps with the Neshes Ish, which is insane, Rechmona Litzlan, but I know, okay, why not, that's what you say. And, I mean, you'd think that at least if there was any element of it that was wrong, it didn't look good, whatever, so then at least it shouldn't be the mocker of Mashiach. Not true. So as Gemara says, that actually, Ru'uya haita lo misheshet yimei bereshit. Bathsheba is called Bathsheba, same the Malchus, it's the Midah HaShviyis of Zeranpin. I mean, what are you, crazy? But the point is, Ella, says the Gemara, she'ochla paga. He ate that date, that fig, too early. So because of that, it translates into the concept of fig, fag. And then in modern Hebrew, the idea of infants that are born too young, they're called pagim, and so on. And it's all based on this. So the area of the hospital is dedicated to incubators, is called the pagia. It's the place where all the pogs are, right? Okay. Amazing. It's like, it's all the way back. Okay. So we humans often are immature before we do things, don't understand what we're doing. We sort of jump the gun a little bit. And that gets us into a hell of a lot of trouble. But Lamai said that's what the mission is talking about. So when is it called jumping the gun on the figs? So hapagim. So here you've got these new growing figs. At the stage of Mishi Yazrichu, so they turn red, and at that, when they have that reddish tinge to the skin, at that point, you're allowed to eat in the field, but only in the field, you can eat your pitot with it, because it gives that type of sharp flavoring, in which you're not really eating fig, but it's sort of like a fig jam on your pot. So that would be mutter, but only there. So it's called achilat arai. And that, they're not ready yet. Bichalu, once they begin to actually mature, then kunes l'toch beito. Then you actually bring it into your house as usual. V'chein kayotze v'hen. Now, there's two ways of reading this. A big machlokas how to read it. Is there's two separate statements. V'chein kayotze v'hen. So too is the meaning of the way to determine an equivalent stage by any other fruit that share this type of characteristics with a fig, so that they have this reddish tinge and so on. Or is this a new statement? Meaning that the same thing that was during Shemitah, considered to be the time in which you would be allowed to eat the figs, during the rest of the 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, has nothing to do with the Isser of being Mafsir Perashvias, it's still no Gea, because it's no Gea the din of eating without taking off Miser. So this becomes the moment at which it's Chayiv in Masrot. Okay. Obviously, that doesn't matter in Shvias, because there is no Miser during Shvias. So actually, it depends whether there's a Vav or not. If there's a Vav, it's a new statement. U b'shar shnei hashavua. So then it's saying, and the same shir is nogea meiser in the other years, as opposed to it being two separate statements. But it's not saying, it's not addressing other fruit at all. So koka yotze behem is talking about the other fruit. And then the other halacha is, by the way, the same shir is mishi yavchilu in the shir of meiseres, which apparently is the way Rambam understood it, because he says, "V'shar shnei shavua chayev b'maisras," because "az yubayim lo nata masrot," is his lashon. There's something of a problem in the Rambam over there. Something's wrong with the Girsur, with our understanding, because the Rambam says, "Kishi yazrichu," is the onata masrot, which is not true. I mean, that is goes against mamish the mission itself. That the ain in the share of Mises is Mishi Avchilo. So I don't know. It could be just that here's a problem, and the Rambam was referring only to the last stage, which would not be Kishiyas Richo. That would be the difference also, obviously, in terms of the Vav or not the Vav. Okay, so that would be true about figs. Now, we also have to concern ourselves with dates in the same way, because that was also a minhag, which the very early grape, which is called Boser, and that is very sour. But nonetheless, once mishavi mayim, once you can squish a little bit of grape juice out of it, it's not yet real grape juice. It's more vinegarish and it's very sharp. But people do that in order to be able to eat their pitot. So if you do that, you can do that again, basada. But you're not allowed to bring it into the house. If ish, once it's already in the state of bi'ushim, bi'ushim is a very strange language. Bi'ushim usually means ugh, right? When you say misha hiv ish, I mean, that's like a funny way to talk about fully mature. And indeed, some say that it's called that because of the fact that it is so close to start rotting. That means that it gets totally mature. And if you leave it any longer, it's about to go bad. So therefore we call it hivish. That's basically the way the Rambam explains it in the Pirshei Mishnah, is that lashon, because I mean, there's got to be some explanation to it. So, okay, so this boser, once it reaches, that's called, remember, pol halavan. Remember the Gemara says in Pesachim, that's pol halavan. It's pol halavan. What do beans have to do with grapes? No, we mean a grape that has reached the shear of pol halavan. That's considered to be boser. Right? That was the Gemara we had in Pesachim. So at this point, out in the field, yes. If you can squish it onto your pitot, then you can eat it that way, because people do that. And then once it's hivish and it's completely mature, and the Gemara elsewhere explains that the shear of that is that you're actually able to make out the pips of the grapes through the skin. You hold it up and you can, as you'll see in a mature grape, you see the pips from the outside. So then kones tovitot, at that point, you treat them like anything else in Shemitah. And again, we have the question of how to be gores. So you can say, or two different statements. Same exact idea. Okay, so we said that the stage of bechila is you're allowed to bring him into the house, but you didn't explain what that was. So, mahu bechilu, exactly what does that mean? So, Reb Chiya bar Abba, he says it means the same idea that hivish means. In other words, if we were right that hivish means that it's already getting to be disgusting, meaning it's about to be disgusting, so then the bechila also means nauseating, right? Oh, and margish bechila, you know, again in modern Hebrew. So that means, and where does that come from? The pasuk, gam nafsham bachalavi, that people treat me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like I'm disgusting, you know? So this is the way, we're talking Davka about the Roim, HaRoim, the Melochim, were terrible people, and the Navi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that they so hate me that they see me as being nauseated. Fine. So in other words, if it's so developed that it's about to be overdeveloped, that's called Bechila. Okay. So that means we have two different halachas. But where do those two different halachas come from? Where do we see that you have a right to have a use and during Shemitah of things that are not the full use? Because I understand you're only allowing it in the Sadeh, but I mean, why is that mutter? Bottom line is, if you would wait, it would grow fully, and then you would get more use out of it. So what's the marker for that? Ah, says the Gemara, there is a marker. Let's take a look at the psukim. Because basically we have two psukim. They hear the gros metakin, the girsa, because otherwise the Gemara makes no sense. Ksiv ulevehem techavala chayasher ba'artzecha tiyakol tvuat alecho. You're going to be eating all of the things. So that means you're taking in all that you would want to take in and you're allowed to take into your house. So then we talk about when it's at a stage, when it's suitable to be eaten by humans and by animals and so on. And yet, it's very strange that the sugya is introduced with the words Min hasadeh tochlu et tvuata. What does that mean? Min hasadeh tochlu et tvuata. I thought, I mean, it's telling me that you eat it the way you normally eat it. I mean, I don't sit outside in the sadeh to eat it. So therefore, it's coming to tell me, that was the pasuk the Gemara puts in, that's coming to tell me, says Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, that there are shtei tvuot. Basically, we're referring to two different levels of the usage of the production of Shemitah. Achat min habayit, ve'achat min hasadeh. And therefore, we have a special heter that if things are normally eaten in the sadeh, so then you have a right to do that. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? So this is not stam. Mamash learning it out of the fundamental pasuk that gives us the din of la'achla. Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina boy. So let me ask you something. Does the fact, fascinating question, does the fact that the Torah provides us with an alternative usage, which is basadeh, and we understood that to mean at the point where it's not fully usable, but you get a use out of it for putting on your pitot. Well, what about if the use that I need of it is to put it on a bandage? Right? So now making a melugma. So a melugma is like a medical mixture. They used to call them plasters.
Poultice.
What?
A poultice.
Poultice, yeah. So could you do that? Normally you can't do it. If it's mature fruit, then it's only la'ochla. But this, the Torah is giving me a heter to use in ways that are less than fully effective. So does that include not just putting it on my pitot, maybe it includes putting it on my bandages? Do we say, me'achar shehu ochel ben pitot basadeh? Do we say, well, wait a minute, eating it with your pitot is achila. So it would still be included in la'ochla v'lo l'melugma, which is one of the things that we say about it, and therefore it would be usur, you know, and it would be the equivalent, basically, of the haknos alabayit that would we normally say. Or do we say, omi achar, the group puts in the word, not shehu, but rather she'in, omi achar shehu eino machnisam l'toch beto, since l'maisi, you're not allowed to bring it into the house, so the Torah is telling you that you're getting a secondary usage, though. Maybe a secondary usage on a bandage is also good enough, because at this stage, the Torah is being matir me to use it in a non-normal way. Okay. Question stands, of course, as usual, where we don't have teku at the end. Okay. I think that perhaps we should leave the next, if you don't mind, should we try to finish, even though we're about to be over time? Okay. So Taman Tanina, since nobody's complained, sort of like Yerushalmi, no answer means do whatever the heck you want. So Taman Tanina, now when in the Mishnah in Uktin, we were talking about the question of Kabbalah's Tumah. So we said if fruit is not roi to be mature yet. So let's say you're talking about Pagin, which of course was what we were talking about over here, in terms of figs. Boser, we were talking about over here in terms of Yain, in terms of Geffen. So what's the din? So Rabbi Akiva says, even at that stage, there are makabel tumas eichlin, and there will be mitames eichlin to me. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no. The stage that allows them to be actual food, like abedinim of tuma, is only mishiyavo lo natama asrot, which is the later stage that we had in the Mishnah. Fine. So that the Mishnah ma'asrot goes through. But until they're not called food completely. So, wait a minute. So, Tani Kan Miyad. So, over here, basically, Rabbi Akiva is saying, he seems to be saying, is that Pagin and Boser, which is the earliest stage, is Makabel Tumas Eichlin immediately. I mean, how can it be immediately? I mean, isn't that the whole sugya over here, that it's not considered to be fully a food? It's only considered to be a food under very special circumstances. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Well, let's get me out. I mean, why didn't he say a shir? Did he actually meant mamish without needing to come to any of the shirin? Rabbi Chananya, b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lokesh, says, no, the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva was talking about was pagei te'inim. And therefore, it has this special use. That's why we had this special Mishnah over here, where pagei te'inim are indeed eaten together as something that gives a tang to your pitot, and it's eaten in the sada. Okay, so then in Okinami, he's referring to the Mishnah year. And he's saying that gives it a right to be called food, in which case it's bekabel to maserichlin. But other pagim, or b'shar kol pagim, they're not going to be called to maserichlin. He's made it until we get to onat ha-maserot. And we know that figs are not like other fruit. Look at our Mishnah. Reb Yosef, well, of course. Masnisin omrakein. I mean, our Mishnah makes that clear, doesn't it? It says, pagim of figs, literally. Mishi azricho chobem pito basadeh. So it's only these particular figs, not other things. Because benogea, anything else, we're going to have the Mishnah later. The Mishnah later says tomorrow that it's actually osir to eat it before onat ha-maaserot, during Shmias. So there's a difference. That difference is exactly what the Mishnah was focusing on. And Rabbi Akiva was talking about not any fruits that are pagim gebosar. He meant literally the original usage of the word pagim and the original usage of the word bosar. Right? Rabbi Pedas, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what, this piece, I think we'll wait until tomorrow. Get to the details. Okay, Rabosai. Very good. Didn't keep you all that extra. Barnea is going to show us Pagim and Bosar.
Rebbe, you just wanted to say we're Pagim Tokim. Very good. I'm driving amidst olive trees and fields, but I'd like to introduce my work. My recollection is that we got up to the Mishnah yesterday, and Rebbe was saying that we didn't finish the whole plot, and I gave a dispensation I was made fun of, and we did not learn the previous Mishnah and Rebbe gave a review of. In other words, we were halacha A and not a halacha B. That's the work that I'm in.
So you're arguing on Gavi. And I now recall that you are correct. What we did yesterday is we started the Mishnah, then we went back, and then we said we'll tell Benny to append the Mishnah. But we did the Mishnah, but we never did the Gemara on that Mishnah. Oh man, why didn't you speak up at the beginning?
I'm not in normal conditions, and I was afraid of getting really blessed. I was totally confused that the Rebbe was giving an introduction to what we were about to do, and
All right. I apologize, but you know what, Baruch Hashem, the main issues here are how it gets recorded and not what actually happened. So we had fun, and then the other people, they'll never know better. So we'll make up for it, Bezrat Hashem. So in a way, it makes life a lot easier to be doing it this way. Okay, everyone. So wonderful, wonderful to be with you. What a treat. And mamish t'machaye my whole day. And I look forward, Bezrat Hashem, to see you tomorrow in circumstances and allow us to smile just from looking outside and not having to worry. Yeshua Hashem, kol tov.